Welcome to Vaginas, Vulvas, and Vibrators with Jordan Donnell. This is a safe place to learn about women's health and sexual wellness. I'm your host, Jordan Donnell, physician assistant, women's sexual health educator, and intimacy coach. On today's episode, I have a special guest joining us to talk all about alternative relationship styles. We are covering everything from consensual non-monogamy, open relationships, the lifestyle, and so much more. If this is ever something you have considered or something that you may not know a lot about, I highly recommend listening to this episode to just learn more and learn more about how to have this conversation if this is something that you are considering. Before we get into today's episode, I want to tell you about my sexy box. If you've been following along, you know that my quarterly subscription box, the Sexy Box, comes out every couple of months. And in this box, there's over $100 worth of top Pure Romance products. This Sexy Box is super fun and a great way to spice things up. If you want to get your Sexy Box and have that come to your door here in the next couple of weeks, check out the link in the bio to sign up for your quarterly subscription box. Joining me today is my friend, Erin. Erin is somebody that I met through my business coach, and she coaches other couples on how to navigate a non-monogamous relationship, whether that be open, ethical non-monogamy, lifestyle, you name it, she helps navigate that and helps you explore if that is a good option for you. So I am so excited to have her here with me today to share her knowledge and help maybe teach us a thing or two about alternative lifestyles. Erin, would you like to go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, I'm Erin Cayley. I'm a sex play and relationship coach. I help curious lovers express themselves and their sex lives and explore new trains like non-monogamy.
Yes, I am so excited to talk about different relationship styles today because I think that a lot of people don't know a lot about them, and there's a lot of interest in them. So I think it's important to be talking about them and at least share more about what different relationship styles look like. I know you are currently in a consensual non-monogamy relationship. Let's start with, what is consensual non-monogamy?
Okay, so to start, we have consensual non-monogamy, and then there's also known as ethical non-monogamy. So E&M or C&M, you'll see it as, but it's an umbrella term for all open relationship styles that aren't exclusive to one person. You're intimate with multiple people. So this covers, or it ranges from being monogamous, like ever entertaining threesomes, to being a swinger, or how we would rather prefer it called, as in the lifestyle, to open relationship, which is exploring on your own in a partnership, and then polyamory, which is having multiple romantic relationships that you're involved in.
I love that definition, like the quick definition of all of those, because I think that I always get confused personally between like open relationships and the lifestyle and how those vary. How did you decide that this was something that you wanted to explore?
Okay, so first of all, you said that there's a lot of interest in it, which is actually really cool because when I had learned about it, I had no idea that this was even an option for a relationship style at all. I had always enjoyed my single life. I had a few boyfriends, was very loyal in those relationships, loved those relationships. But then when I was on my own in college for a couple of years, I loved exploring myself through other people. And so I always loved that part about myself. But I also loved relationships. And I didn't realize that there was a combination of the two. And then when we were together, so My now fiance and I started dating, and he had brought up the story of one of his friends saying, "Hey, yeah, my friend had gone to this sex party once and it was hilarious." And he's like, there was literally thousands of people, and at least a couple thousand people. And I mean, you should have just seen this thing. And I'm sitting here thinking, wait, what are you talking about? Like, I thought swingers. So I don't know where I got this from, but my concept of swingers was when like you go to a party and you throw all these keys in a bowl and you just go home with whoever you take their keys. And I don't know where that came from, but that was my understanding of what swingers were. And then he brought this up and I was like, wait, we need to look this up because I am a researcher at heart. I have to know everything. I want to know how this all works. So we started YouTubing it and we're like, this sounds awesome. He's like, wait, like, because he had never explored this in his past relationships. I had never done either. And so that night we ordered takeout, we watched YouTube videos, and we made our first dating profile on a site called Cassidy, which is one of the lifestyle sites out there. And that's where we started. And about 3 years into our relationship, we opened up our relationship to an open relationship and so that we can explore on our own. And that was a very fun and scary conversation. But yeah, that's how we got started in it, was just this random story that he to this day says that he did not plant. He was just sharing me this because we were very open and talking about all sorts of things early on in our relationship, really great with communication. And this is one of those things that we just both latched onto and then jumped right in. So
I love that. I met you through Alexa Martinez and the business. She is our business coach. And I did Sex and Love Academy. And through that process, one of the questions is like, what are your thoughts on alternative relationships? And if you're a hard no, why? And I thought to myself, I was like, that's a really good question because I'm a hard no, but at the time, I don't really know why. And I think it's just because I don't want to share. Am I going to get jealous? But then I was like, it's probably a really good fit for me because like you, I like my single life. I like to have fun. I like to have a good time. I get bored really easily. And I just feel like it would be really something that I would potentially like to explore in the right situation if it ever arises.
And no, I was just saying, I think that that's like the coolest thing is even if you're curious about it, there are ways to start looking into it and to see how you're curious about it. But I think that a lot of people who I tell that I'm non-monogamous, like all of my best friends included, what they'll always do, and it's funny how often, because I hear other polyamorous people, other open relationship, other swinger people, all their friends say the same. They're like, oh, I wish I could do that. But I'm too jealous. And I think that jealousy is in monogamous and non-monogamous relationships alike. You cannot escape from jealousy. But jealousy is really an opportunity to learn what this trigger is. And I think that in monogamous relationships, we can typically avoid jealousy because, you know, it's just like, oh, don't look at her and I'll be fine. Or don't have any other interest except me and I'll be fine. So don't trigger me and then I don't have to deal with what's triggering me, you know? So I think it's an interesting objection. I definitely don't think that non-monogamy is for everyone, but I think it's really fun to see people more interested in it because we have been fed that monogamy is the only relationship style. I honestly had no idea that there were these other relationship styles that were in such a high regard. And there's so many cool people in these relationships too. When I went to my first lifestyle party, for example, there were just, I think there was about 1500 people there. And the people that we met were so happy and so open and loving and just friendly. And I'm thinking, they're just living their best lives. And they're having sex all the time, a lot of the time. And they're experiencing themselves in all these different ways. And it was so eye-opening to see you can have a healthy, committed relationship and be non-monogamous. And that's what really hooked me, I feel, early on.
I think that for me, a non-monogamous relationship would really help me enjoy my partner more and be more connected to my primary relationship because other aspects are being fulfilled other places. And I feel like it would actually bring me closer to my partner. What do you think some of the benefits of choosing to be non-monogamous are?
I would definitely first start with that, is that I feel like our relationship is so amazing. And I love it because there's so many times. So my fiance and I have now been together for 7 years. And we still get people asking us if we are new to dating, if we just started dating. And I think it keeps things so fresh and connected with us. Our communication is on a new level because in our relationship, we tell each other everything. We're extremely transparent. We love sharing all the juicy details of our endeavors with each other. And I think that that's what's really fun and it keeps us connected. And also, I think another benefit is it gives you so much more freedom to explore the diversity of your kink and desire. Because Esther Brill talks about this a lot, that it's very unfair to expect everything from one person. Like you're expecting him to be your partner, your best friend. And when you're looking at the diversity of the kink profile, I mean, what if you're really into public sex? For example, my fiance is not into public sex at all. He would rather have all the windows closed. He doesn't want anyone to, by chance, see us at all. And I get a thrill out of that. And without this kind of relationship style, I could never really explore that side of my sexuality, that side of my desire. And with my other partners, with my other lovers, other matches on dating apps, I can. And it's so fun because I can share those experiences with him and he loves it. He loves getting to know that and he loves seeing me so happy. But then he doesn't have to put himself way out of his comfort zone because it just doesn't turn him on. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's totally fine to experience things and push your boundaries a little bit with your partner to explore something that they're interested in that maybe you're not as interested in. But in this relationship, you can literally go full throttle. And I think that's what's been really fun too. And then just diversity of who you're interested in. Everyone has their own sexuality, their own style. I have this, like I've had this French lover, for example, and this guy is the typical French guy. He's like slow and sensual, and he wants to have hour-long conversations about art. And then you walk into his apartment, and he has candles everywhere and dim-lit lighting. And then he's made me like a fresh tart, like a fresh chocolate tart that he's been working on since noon that day. And this whole array, it's Instagram worthy if you can tell about it. And then I have this German lover who's like complete dom, wants to go on like a motorcycle ride. And then we stop on the side of the road on like overlooking this mountain in the Mediterranean. And it's just amazing the spectrum of sexual experiences you can have in this kind of relationship. And I think that that's what's really amazing, because you can explore your curiosities in different ways. If my fiance is on an elevator and he has this electric connection with this woman, it doesn't even matter if anything sexual happens. It's just that he has the freedom to explore that if he wants to. And I really love that kind of freedom in our relationship. And I love, both of us are experimentalists and we both love exploring and trying out new things. And I think that that's what, it's really fun to do that.
So Erin actually lives in Spain part of the year. So she has access to these French and German men over in Europe. And I am so jealous because the Mediterranean, oh my gosh, yes, please. That sounds awesome.
It's magical. I love that. It's magical.
I love that. So you brought up communication. What type of communication is needed to support this kind of relationship?
I think it's radical openness. And that goes for monogamous and non-monogamous relationships alike. Because I think that there's something, and it's not about having no privacy. It's not about having to tell them like every gritty detail. That's something that we love doing because we enjoy those details. But it's not like we're sharing every single time we get a text from even like a past lover. There's nothing about that with our boundaries. But I think it's really about radical openness and about sharing, because we were swingers and then we moved into open relationship. And the way that we did that was because I shared my desire with him. Immediately, I was not thinking open relationship. I was just thinking, I have this fantasy of watching you with another woman, but I don't want to be there. I want to be on video. And that's how the conversation started, because I had this fantasy and I was scared because this was we'd always had these experiences with each other, with other people in the same room. And now I'm talking about creating space in between that and experiencing solo. And that's how that conversation got started. But I think that that's what has been really amazing in this relationship, is because it does cause you to be so much more comfortable with sharing these types of things with your partner. It creates this openness, and being radically open with your partner and honest about your desires and what's going on. Because I'll tell you, just going back to jealousy, is that in monogamous relationships, I feel like it's easier to hide. But in non-monogamous relationships, you get jealousy thrown in your freaking face. And you have these moments, there's nowhere to hide. You have to have these conversations with your partner. You have to say, hey, for whatever reason, I don't feel comfortable with this tonight. Or I don't like how this is working. Because otherwise, you will just crumble under the pressure and everything will fall apart. And I think that that's what happens sometimes with people that are experiencing or wanting to explore non-monogamous relationships, is that they go into it and they're unprepared with the right communication styles, and they are not prepared to have to come clean about their insecurities. Because if you have any insecurity, it will be triggered and you have to be ready to work through that. And so I think that's another thing, is personal development is huge, because you do have to do a lot of inner work. Because everything is out there in the open relationships, everything is out in the open.
Well, and with communication, it's not like you brought this up one day and then the next day you were in an open relationship. If I remember correctly, this is something that took a lot of communication and time to decide if it was right for you, right?
Right. So when we started, we were both incredibly nervous. So we made the dating profile, but we didn't see anyone. We didn't meet anyone in the lifestyle, I feel like, for at least a few months. So we had a lot of time to think about it. We had a lot of time to like research and try to understand a little bit more how to be prepared in these situations. And the best advice is to be and even starting as a swinger, I think that that's where I really learned like the core of communication. Because when you are interacting with other people and you're playing together, every single touch and move takes consent. So that's something that in the lifestyle, it's all about consensual sex. So there was a couple next to us at the party, and he looked at my fiance and asked if he could put his hand on my knee. And that's just a physical touch. So every single action, like even when I was like moving up to go down on him, even when I was moving up to go down on her, it was just all this eye contact of, is this okay? Is this okay? And it was also eye contact between me and my partner of saying, are we still okay on this? Because at any point you can change your mind, and that's okay. And there's no judgment behind that. And I think that that's another thing that people struggle with, is that you have to be honest. You have to be honest with your partner of when there's some sort of boundary that's crossed or that it's no longer okay, because that's when everything just will literally blow up. And so it's better to just be honest and say, hey, I don't know what it is, but I need to take a break from this. Or can we just stop this right now? And that's really accepted in the lifestyle. No one is trying to pressure you to like continue. Just because you said yes to start with doesn't mean you can't change your mind halfway through. So those kinds of eye contact movements and being that connected with each other, I think, is amazing and so eye-opening of how important it is to communicate through the entire process. And even so, beforehand, when we were going to meet our first couple, we were going to go hang out at their house for the day. And we said, hey, if we get there and one of us doesn't feel okay, we'll just leave. No big deal. If we get there and we start playing and for whatever reason something doesn't feel right, we'll tap each other and we'll be done. And then after it, we had an amazing night. It was so fun and we were just jazzed up afterwards, and we were driving home and I looked at him and I said, okay, so how do you feel? How do you feel about this? How are we feeling right now? And those kinds of micro conversations are incredibly important. That's the kind of level of communication you have to have. And it's just been so beneficial to our relationship as a whole to have that.
I can totally see how all of that conversation really enhances a relationship all around. And you have to be able to communicate about so many different things. And intimacy is a huge part of relationships. But if you're able to communicate about intimacy, you're probably having better communication about other things in your life as well.
Like that level of communication and intimacy, like even sharing when things aren't working. Because like this is a great example. So when about 4 years into our relationship, he had been in San Diego and he went to go meet this girl. And he was telling me, so he ended up having a great night with him, with her. And the next morning he called me with a story and I was so excited because I love this part. And he was going through this. Now to preface this, about 4 months earlier, he had told me, like, we were making out one day and I was like, it's so funny. Like, you just don't really like making out that much. And he said, well, I don't really like the way that you make out with me. And I'm sitting here thinking, we have been so open in all of our, in our relationship. We've had this amount of touch points and you can't bring up this to me. And I was so hurt by it because I'm thinking like, I would love to try new ways. Like you teach me how you want to kiss, but I'm over here thinking that he's not into it. And so that was a big eye opener too, is that we have to look at it at like a full spectrum. And so I worked on it. We tested out some new ways of kissing. I felt like I felt more confident about it. And then 4 months later, when he was out on this date, he was telling me the story the next day. Everything was going great. I was so happy and turned on by it all. And then he said, yeah. And then I leaned over and I started making out with her at the bar. And at the time, I had no idea what had triggered me. But when he was telling me the story, I felt like hot lava was pouring over my body. And I haven't felt this feeling in years. And I'm sitting here thinking, and he's on the phone, so he has no idea that this is going on. He's just continuing with the story, and I'm latching on to other details that I really am interested in hearing. And then I hang up, and I literally go to my computer, and I'm like, What is jealousy? And then I go into, okay, it's so much deeper than that. What was I triggered by? So I go back through the story and I realize it was correlated with that moment when he shared with me that he made out with this girl. And it wasn't the sex they had. It wasn't all like these awesome experiences they had. It was the fact that he made out with her at the bar. And then I was like, oh, I'm just still insecure about us making out together. Like I'm insecure about my making out skills. That's really all it comes down to. And all of this weight lifted off of me because that's actionable. That's something I can do about. So it was a huge learning lesson in jealousy for me. And I think that that's like, you do have to look at a full spectrum of that. Like it's made us realize, oh, we also have to be more communicative about other areas of our lives. If this isn't turning us on, if this isn't doing it for us, we have to share that with each other. So that was a big learning moment. And that was years into our non-monogamous relationship. So always learning.
Yes. It's funny. That was my next question, is how do you deal with jealousy when it comes up? So it's so interesting how like we as humans are triggered and we don't even have any clue. What happened the other day? I was recently triggered. I can't even remember what it was, but it's just crazy how as humans, the way we respond. And then to dig deep and figure out what it is, like that's so much work a lot of times. And you have to be willing to do that deep work in order to figure out what the problem actually is.
Yeah. And in relationships, I feel like jealousy is triggered a lot by this idea that we have possession of our partner, which is weird. You know, there's a lot of books on polyamory and open relationships. Ethical Slut is amazing. And then there's this book called Sex at Dawn, which goes on and on about how monogamy is not natural to humans. I'm not one of those believers. I think that monogamous relationships are completely legitimate and they are the right fit for people. Non-monogamy is not the right fit for everyone. But that's what he's going on, is that it's this idea of possession and that people feel like they possess their partners and that they're not allowed to see anyone else. They're not allowed to sleep with anyone else. They're not allowed to look at anyone else. And that triggers a lot of jealousy. But this is something that we've, again, been fed our entire lives. all society tells us like jealousy is a good thing because that means they love you. Well, no, it's their insecurity. And it could be a trust issue. Maybe you have a trust issue with your partner. And that's important. That's something that you can work on with your partner. Instead of just thinking like, okay, well, just again, don't do that. And then I won't be triggered. And now I don't have to deal with anything. And I think it's so freeing to work on those things that are triggering us. We've learned this in all areas of personal development. But when it comes to relationships, I think it's incredibly freeing. And then we stop trying to make our partners everything to us. We stop trying to make our partners ours. And then we enjoy this thing. So in polyamory, but we also use it a lot in other non-monogamous relationships, there's this special term that they use called compersion. And it's having happiness in another person's happiness. And that's been one of the most beneficial things to me. Because when he's getting ready to go on a date, he's nervous, he's excited, he's putting on his best shirt, he's listening to his music, he's getting to his own vibe. When he comes back from the date and he feels like hot shit, like he's walking in there like this, like, look at me, babe. Aren't you so proud of me? And I just had like the coolest night and I had this experience. And I get so much joy from watching his joy. And likewise with him, he loves watching me get ready for dates because I'm a frazzled mess. And I'm like, I get into this confident zone, but then I'm super nervous. And because going on that first date, there is no feeling. You can't just keep remaking that in a long-term relationship. And so it's fun to experience each other have that kind of joy or have that kind of expression, because like he has this thing for, you know, tatted up, pierced girls. That is never going to be me. Never. I'm not going to be that person. But to watch him have that kind of experience with her, with a girl like that, with the tongue ring, like that's a totally different experience. And it's so fun to watch that through him. And that's compersion, like having joy for the other person. And I feel like when you work on jealousy, again, in a non-monogamous or monogamous relationship alike, you are able to enjoy your partner's joy. And if he's turned on by something, if a girl flirts with him, instead of being jealous because you feel like she's better than you, you can say, and you can enjoy his joy and enjoy his confidence boost that he just got from another girl complimenting him. And I think that that in itself is so freeing. So freeing. We are weighing ourselves down in our relationships, I feel like. And that's been an awesome thing to experience.
I'm going to have to remember that term because that is amazing. And it's so true. Like, I find a lot of happiness in other people being happy. And I didn't even know there was a word for that. So that's cool. What are some good indicators that being in a open, non-monogamous relationship is not a good fit or not a good relationship style for you?
So I think I've been approached by numerous couples that ask me or that tell me that their relationship is in trouble and that they think that opening up their relationship will fix it. And that can be more of a disaster waiting to happen than anything else. Because like I said, you have to have solid communication. You have to be willing to work on your shit. You have to be ready for this. And you have to have a teamwork effort. Like this is a team effort. And it's you both being honest with each other. And relationships that have problems, this is not the way to fix it, because this is going to add more salt to every injury and every insecurity and every trigger that you have. And I think that that is the biggest telltale sign that this is not for you. But it's funny how a lot of people think that having sex with other people will fix their relationship. I really love my partner, but if I could just have sex with someone else, that would be fine. You know, that would fulfill me. And that's the thing, is that I don't have sex with other people because my primary relationship doesn't fulfill me. I love my sex life. And there's been a year, months, there's been huge gaps of time where neither of us have played with anyone else. And it's not out of like satisfaction with our relationship. It's just about us connecting in by chance with other people. And I think that that's a huge telltale sign that it's not the right relationship for you. That's the one that sticks out the most to me.
I think that's a really good point in that it's not, if you're already having communication issues, if you're already having issues in your relationship, getting into something that's going to bring up more is not going to solve any problems. If somebody is interested in exploring a different relationship style, how do they go about it? Like, where do they start?
You can do it like how we did, which is just jump in and make a profile. There's typically not, you can make a free profile on some of these sites. There's, it depends on also like what you're getting into. If it's lifestyle, you can do Cassidy, you can do Lifestyle Lounge. In Europe, we have Play Club. But I think that there's a variety of sites. So you can jump in, create a dating profile, you can jump around, read resources, you can hire a coach to help walk you through this, because there are a lot of things that come up. And I think I wish that I would have had a coach. And that's one of the reasons why I'm starting my coaching business, is to help couples through this, because we learned as we did. We've been in it for 6 years now, and a little bit longer than 6 years, actually. And we've learned a lot along the way. And I kind of wish that I had someone that was more guided towards it, because YouTube videos only go so far. But I feel like the first step, even before that, is obviously having the conversation with your partner, because it's not very often that we had a unique scenario where he had brought up the story and then I latched on and we both went into it, and that's how the conversation started. But if you're interested in it and you don't know about your partner, there's no reason to be afraid of rejection from them. And I think a lot of people are afraid of rejection through that. But if you're really interested in this, then I think you owe it to yourself to express that to your partner. And that's the first thing that you need to do, is have a conversation with them and use a lot of I statements. There's no reason to say, oh, well, you're not doing this, or you're not into public sex, and I really want to explore this. It's just I statements, because that helps so much more with relating to them and helping them understand what your desires are. And jealousy is not a reason not to go into it. We've talked about this at length now. And I think that if you commit, both of you commit to like working through what's triggering that jealousy, even if you don't ever pursue monogamy, it'd be very beneficial. So I feel like that's a really great place to start, is have a conversation and then throw yourself into it. Look at all the resources, read Ethical Slut, read Sex at Dawn, and if you want some guidance, hire a coach along the way, because that kind of guidance can be incredibly opening and supportive when you're exploring these new terrains.
Absolutely. And the Ethical Slut keeps coming up for me. Like, I've heard about this book like 15 million times at this point. So I definitely am going to go put that in my cart and get that here soon and be my next book after I finish the one I'm currently reading, which is really phenomenal. When this podcast launches, it's probably right around the time that you will be having a program or course. Are you currently taking like one-on-one clients for working through some of this stuff?
Right. Yeah, I am currently taking on one-on-one clients, and I am working on launching a program that we can also work with couples, whether it's one-on-one or in groups. And then also I'm working on launching a summit, an online summit that covers the future of relationships, because I think I feel very shorted that I didn't know about these kinds of relationship styles when I was in college exploring all of this. And I just want people to know that there are other options. And I think that people have a lot of misconceptions about non-monogamy, that it means that you're less committed. Even so, when I say my fiance, it's like we're getting married next year. And it was amazing how many of our friends who know us so closely now, and when we said that we were getting married, there were so many of my friends that thought, okay, so now you're done with this non-monogamy thing. And at that moment, I realized that, oh, they don't think that non-monogamy means committed. They think that because we're not in a monogamous relationship, that we're not taking this seriously, that we don't love each other on this kind of level, and that we're not committed. And I really want to just blow that to bits because it's just not true. And I want people to understand and feel supported that if they have curiosity about having relationship, having a main relationship or in polyamory, that's hierarchical, they have a primary partnership and then there's non-hierarchical, like where they don't have a primary partner or they're solo poly. And that means like they're an independent person and they have relationships, but they typically don't even share a house, don't share finances. And I think that exploring all of those spectrums is important for people to feel accepted, because I did feel when I was in college and I was having these, I loved being single and I kind of felt guilty about wanting to explore with other people while I was in a relationship. I was loyal. I didn't ever do it, but I had these desires and I'm like, oh, I don't know why it feels like this. I don't know why I feel like, why can't I have both? Why can't I, you know, experience, or why can't I, why is threesomes the only thing that's accepted? And even that people still look down on it. People can get insecure a lot around that as well. So I think that I just want to open the doors to that. So I'm launching a summit. I'm going to be interviewing about 30 different experts in all different relationship styles. And I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to be game changing and I'm excited for people to pop on. So yeah, I'll be launching that too. So that would be a good starting point too.
I love that. And why is this the first time I'm hearing about it?
Well, I've been working on it for a long time. I've been wanting to launch this for at least a year, but I think again, like this is one of my first podcasts that I'm ever becoming even more public about being non-monogamous. And a lot of, like I said, a lot of my close friends, some of my family know, but I've been kind of, a lot of people in non-monogamy are underground swingers. Most people that are swingers, you will never find out that they're swingers or in the lifestyle. They're extremely anonymous. They have, a lot of times they don't have their faces in any of their pictures. A lot of the people at these parties are parents, they're teachers, they're all sorts of different professions. You would have no idea. Like when I see these people, I'm like, there's no way that you're a swinger. And they are. And so a lot of people are very underground about this. And, but that was the thing is that I was too. I only told like close family and friends because I was afraid of judgment. I was not, a lot of the time, I was afraid of judgment because I'd gotten a lot of flack from everyone around, especially when the marriage thing came about. So I had to wait to that moment till I was ready to be public. And now I'm like, you know what? The non-monogamous community needs a variety of voices. And I have found so much fulfillment through this relationship that I want to share this with others and make other people feel seen through this, because monogamy might not feel like a fit for you and this could. So I just want people to know there's options. That's really all it comes down to.
I love that. And so Erin, you were like one of my accountability partners. So that's why I'm just giving you crap about why I haven't heard about this.
And we did bring it up on our mastermind call. And, but you've had your one-on-one.
I did. Darn it. So if the listeners take one thing away from today's conversation, what would you hope that it is?
I would hope that people would take away how much expansion you can get in your sexuality from exploring your desires and kink. Non-monogamy is one kink of many, and maybe that's a fit for you, maybe it's not. But I feel like by exploring all these different sides of yourself, you are expanding your potential, expanding your pleasure potential, expanding your self-expression, because that's what really sex is to me. That sex is play, sex is expression, sex is you connecting with other people. And I would hope that that's what you would take from it, is that there's no shame in finding out and in exploring your desires, because that's what I did. And that's what we did. That's what even got us into this relationship style, was just mentioning a desire. We were both curious about it and we ran for it. And now we have this amazing relationship because of it. And it's not traditional. And I think it's just gratifying. And I would hope that for everyone. I always talk about living turned on, and that's not exclusive to sex. It's not exclusive to your sex life. It's all areas of your life. And I think that by exploring your sexuality, you open your energy to so many different areas of your life. So I feel like that's a big thing. And to not let jealousy stop you from anything, to work on jealousy, to embrace jealousy, because it teaches us about areas of growth that we could have.
I'm so glad that you could join me today to share about this. This has been a wonderful conversation and so much room for learning. Where can the listeners find you at? But hold on, I remembered what it was. I love to live my life turned on. I totally live my life turned on. Everything I do is about like living it to the fullest. So that was just my
And comment. You can just hear the smile. You can hear the smile in your voice, because that's what it really comes down to. Like I did a story today on, because I got this new line of cleaning products, and it's all essential oils, and it is a joy to clean my kitchen. And it's just like, this is living turned on. Like I'm so happy. I'm amped up. I feel sexy. And this is a cleaning product. This has nothing to do with sex. And I think it's just fun. It's fun to live your life turned on.
Yes, it is. Where can the listeners find you at?
You can find me on Instagram right now at It's Turn On with Erin on Instagram.
Beautiful. I love it. And yeah, thank you so much for taking your time to talk with me today all the way from Spain.
Thank you so much for bringing this talk to the masses through your podcast, because I think it's so fun and it was exciting for me to share a little bit about it. And I'm excited for people that are interested in this. And maybe this is a starting point, or maybe this was the podcast that taught you, oh, this isn't the right fit for me. But either way, I'm excited to open this conversation up because it's juicy and fun and a little rebellious.
This episode is sponsored by Pure Romance by Jordan Jones, offering top bath and beauty products and relationship enhancement items. Check out the link in the bio to start shopping today. By shopping, you are supporting this podcast.
Thank you for joining today and continuing to bring awareness to women's health. If you love the show, please subscribe so you never miss another episode and leave a review for others to see. If you want to see me on the daily, you can check out my bio for links to all my pages. Be sure to share this episode with your girlfriends. Thanks again, and see you next episode.